Hi. So yesterday we ran a story about some of the English names that young people in China have given themselves. Regular names like Tom, and not quite so regular names like Tomorrow, Nixon, and Cinderella. Today we're flipping it. A native English speaker gets a Chinese name. Westerners living in China, they absolutely have to have a local name. It's said to be as important as having a mobile phone number. It defines you. So who is this native English speaker who's getting a Chinese name? Someone called Patrick Cox. Me. The thing is, I've been learning Chinese for a few years, and a lot of my fellow students, they've got Chinese names. A Chinese friend or a colleague has come up with a name for them. But I haven't, or I hadn't, until just the other day. Now I have three. Here's how I got them. First things first, I should explain why I sought out three Chinese names, not just one. China is full of Westerners with abandoned Chinese names, names that have been tried out on the locals and failed, names that, it turns out, sounded just a bit too weird. So I needed a plan B and a plan C. My first port of call was Boston's Chinatown, where I go once a week to wrestle with the Chinese language.
你好，好久不见。好久不见。你知道好久不见。
Wen Jingli is my teacher. She grew up in Shanghai, and this is what she came up with when I asked her to give me a Chinese name.
博克斯.
There's a nice lilt to that, and at the same time, it has a passing resemblance to my English name, which Wen Jing says is all you need. English and Mandarin have such different phonetic systems that it's pointless to try to force one language to sound like the other. You'd end up with one of those weird names. Bo, the first syllable, means plentiful, but it might also imply a certain, shall we say, seniority.
Because you are older than me, so I think...
So this is for an old person? This is a name for an old person?
Because Bo means very, very rich.
I'm glad to hear it.
That means your age, it means more experience. You went to a lot of place, and you got a lot of experience, and you have a lot different idea for each country, each language also. So that's why I think... you are good with Bo.
The second and third syllables, ke and se, mean constantly and thinking or considerate.
Okay, so that's pretty good. We got like rich and plentiful followed by constantly considerate. I like that.
谢谢.
Wen Jing has thrown in some wordplay too. The first two syllables, Bo and ke, pronounced differently, mean podcast. Very clever. She's also included a potential banana skin in the final syllable, su. Pronounce it the wrong way, with the wrong tone, and it sounds like the word for to die.
Yeah, if you pronounce ke si not very clearly, like ke si, then maybe people will think about death. If you pronounce it clearly with the bo together, it will be better.
Well, I think this is very appropriate that you, as my Chinese teacher who wants me to get my tones right, have given me a name where I must get my tones right.
That's true. Yeah, that's true.
For name number two, I'm in a restaurant. Chinese pop music plays on a smartphone as a couple of cooks chop beef. This is the Great Mandarin Restaurant in the Boston suburb of Woburn. Tony Huang co-owns the place. He's the father of a friend of mine. He was born and raised in Taiwan, and here's his name for me.
Bai Cui Ke.
Now, on the face of it, this may sound similar to name number one. Bai Cui Ke also sounds a bit like my name. It's also three syllables long, and it has a ke in it, albeit a different one. But that's it. This is a name put together according to totally different principles.
This 19, right? We take a 9. 21, we take 1. The 6 is 6, 8 is 8.
Numbers are big in China. Traditionally, they played a key role in naming. In the old days, parents would visit a fortune teller with the date and time of birth of their child. The fortune teller would then assign a name based on a series of calculations involving, among other things, the number of strokes it takes to write the name in Chinese characters. But for me, Tony didn't need to go to a fortune teller.
Tell me what you did. You
I go to the fortune teller website.
The internet. But things quickly get confusing. We count the number of strokes in my Chinese name.
You see, that's 26. The toe is the bad. But
Wait a minute. You gave me a bad name?
Tony tries to explain, and I try to follow. 26 strokes is good, but there are other stroke calculations in my name that aren't so good. The first two characters are written with 19 strokes, And that matters too.
19 is bad. That's 40% of good, but 60% bad.
We've got to do something about that 19, right?
Yeah, but that's why I ask Freddie how old you are.
Tony wants to know how old I am, because the bad 19 indicates some bad times in my 30s. Once he learns that I'm older than that, well, who cares what my name says about the past? But there's another problem. The last two characters add up to 21.
This one is the relation between you and your boss. It's not smooth, so they have...
It's not smooth. Yeah. My relationship with my boss is not smooth.
Yeah.
I'm not going to tell my boss this.
But you can overcome everything and finally success.
So when do I get the success? When does the name tell me that I'm going to get? What age am I going to be? When
up to 49.
So sometime in my 50s or 60s, things are going to be great.
Yes.
Sold. Future happiness guaranteed. I now have two names that I love. I may not need another Chinese name, but I'm getting greedy. I want one. I visit a friend, artist and calligrapher Wenhao Tian. Wenhao also grew up in Taiwan. She now lives in Cambridge, Massachusetts. As she shows me around her studio, she tells me about her approach to naming.
I like to find names that is a little bit vague. It makes people wonder and humorous.
So no stroke calculations here, just intuition and the look and sound of the name.
You strike me as a very energetic person, very sporty, and somehow the sound of Cui and Patrick is quite a good fitting.
Cui.
Cui. Actually, there's a famous rock singer. His name is Cui Jian.
How can I resist? Wenhao decides that, like the rock star, my name will have just two characters, two syllables. For the second syllable, she chooses ke.
Ke is doable, okay, achievable.
Okay, so kind of open.
Yeah.
On a sheet of paper, Wenhao paints the characters. As I tell her, Sui Ke sounds good.
It looks good too, right?
I would need a more trained eye to really assess that. I mean, when you say it looks good, I'm going to be taking your word for that.
Oh, I think it looks pretty cool.
Excellent.
It's giddy getting a new name. Giving one too. I realize now how much thought goes into giving someone a new name. Much more than the other way around, calling someone Lucy or Tony or Lily. As for my Chinese names, I'm not going to pick one, at least for now. I like them all. So American of me. Spoiled for choice. For the world, I'm Patrick Cox. So, seeing as I'm not going to decide between these names, I'm depending on you, especially the Chinese speakers among you, to tell me what you think. Let me know, eh? But I must stress, I don't want to turn this into a competition. With the limited knowledge that I have, I'm really fond of all three of these names. Okay, now for some more from the people who gave me these names. And I'm grateful, tremendously grateful to all of them. It really is an honor, actually, to be bestowed a name. You don't realize it until it happens. And just to be clear, each one of these people, they knew ahead of time that I was getting three names. I asked them about their names. Here first is my Chinese teacher, Wen Jing.
Okay, my name is Wen Jing Li. Li is my last name. And Wen Jing, my father chose this name for me because Wen means languages, also means reading languages. So my parents want me read a lot. And Jing means quiet. So my parents want me read a lot and be quiet girl.
Did you do that?
Maybe not. But it's a good wish.
So Wen Jing, she also has an English name. It's Lucy. It's handy to have, but she doesn't use it all that much. Unlike Tony Huang, the restaurant co-owner, he's always Tony to English speakers. And the way he puts it, it's not a serious name. It wasn't a big moment for him when he decided to call himself Tony.
To me, it's all the same. Paul or Patrick or Tony, to me, no matter Irish or something, people think it's strange. Why you have Italian name? I don't know. Yeah. So.
But when you think, actually, there are a lot of Chinese people who take the name Tony.
Yeah. The waiter come in, waitress come in. They ask if you have any English name that's easy to the customer. So they always make the popular easy, like Sandy. Like I have three waitresses, right? One called Sandy, one called Sherry, one called Jean. Okay.
Jean.
Jean.
Sandy, yeah. Sherry, and Jean. But they're all Chinese.
Yeah, they're all Chinese.
It's so strange that there's so much thought goes into a Chinese name, so much calculation and so much, it's so complicated. And yet, when a Chinese person, you know, moves to the United States and takes an English name, they don't think about it at all. It's not important.
Not important. That could mean that my name is, you'd call me Zhen Song Huang, and how they can remember this. So I would say, my name is Tony. Oh, okay, Tony.
Okay, so not only do Chinese restaurant waitstaff pick names that are easy to pronounce, Tony told me he's also come across people who've changed their names without a second thought. Like, maybe he hires someone called Jackie, but there's already a Jackie on staff. So Jackie number two, the person he's just hired, says, okay, I'll be Susie. And then she becomes Susie. That kind of thing, it's not uncommon, Tony says. On now to artist and calligrapher Wen Haotian. She talked to me about how her name sort of became a symbol for her life between two worlds, the Chinese-speaking world of her childhood and the English-speaking world of her adulthood. Here's how she's addressed when she's back home. Family name first.
Tian Wen Hao.
Tian Wen Hao. And so when you're here, you say Wen Hao Tian.
Yes. In fact, I'm very uncomfortable when people call me Wen Hao. I've got better now, because my name is either Tian Wen Hao or Hao Hao, which is a nickname. And so in our world, you're either called by the whole name or a nickname.
So being called two-thirds of a whole name, it's too much of one and too little of the other.
Feels foreign to me. So I take it back. I'm not uncomfortable when people call me Wen Hao professionally, but in a family, from family members, when people call me Wen Hao, I felt like, oh, what did I do wrong?
Oh, that's very funny. So already you're kind of alienated from the way that Americans address you.
Well, that's a good way to put it.
So how did you get the name? How did your parents name you?
My family are from northern China, and they are very traditional. So my father's brothers and sisters has one shared word in their first name. So every kid has a word in their first name that's specific to that generation. And Wen is the word that carried in our generation for my large family. And how, I think what I was told by my parents, that they thought I was a boy. And I wished, so, you know, I was born a girl, so they kept the boy name that they made for me.
So you have a boy name?
A very, very much a boy's name. The word Hao means a large amount of water moving, traveling to somewhere. And it's a pretty big name.
That's rather strange to be called a boy's name from a traditional family. But they were traditional in the sense that they would give you this name that everybody of the generation got. But they were untraditional in giving you, a girl, a boy's name.
Yes, but also there is a belief that when a girl receives a boy's name, you do things boys do, which is a good thing on their book.
Oh, that's interesting. Did you do that?
I may have a much bigger ambition than I can handle, I shall say, in my life, and I sometimes blame out my name.
That's very fatalistic. The name itself, did they consult anybody? Or did they count up the strokes and all of that kind of thing in giving you that name, making sure it was the right and had the right elements and all of that?
I think the sound of the last character in your name is important, and the stroke number of strokes is important. It has to match your birth time and your essence. But I think in my generation, people don't take it really seriously unless a child is ill or got ill, and then they will go back to the name and change the kid's name.
Oh, so they would actually change a child's name up to what kind of age would they change it?
My sister was a healthy, happy kid, but she got bitten by mosquitoes and contracted meningitis when she was four. And they thought that was really bad luck. My parents are not very superstitious, but it was recommended that they have my sister's name reevaluated. And of course, she has her name changed. She was four. And a college friend of mine, we graduated from college and then lost in touch for about 15 years. And when I went back to find him, he had a name change because he got ill when he was about 30 years old. And then he had his name reevaluated. Again, you know, his family isn't a very superstitious family as well, but name is a big part of the well-being.
So how many strokes is your name?
Ooh, I think it's 19, but let me try. Okay. Exactly, it's 19. Nobody have asked me that question for about 20 years, but but I think I remember that number 19 from long ago.
Ah, right. And so what does 19 say?
I have no idea.
Even now, some mystery about the name. Well, you can see photos of Wenhao, Wenjing, and Tony at pri.org/language. You can also count the strokes. The three names are there, too. The podcast is also on Facebook. There's a World in Words page. And I'm on Twitter. My handle is Patricox, P-A-T-R-I-C-O-X. No changing that name. See you next time. And this, by the way, is that Chinese rocker that Wenhao mentioned, Sui Jian.